ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 So, this class is on a particular topic, the topic of sadhu sangha versus asat sangha. And I chose a verse which is very famous and which I kind of, it's a very beautiful verse, prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. So we'll chant that verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. Text number 9. Swasti astu visvasya kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya. Manascha badram bhajatatta dukshaje. Avishyatam namati rapyahai tuki. Swasti, auspiciousness. Astu, let there be. Visvasya, of the entire universe. Kalaha, the envious, almost everyone. Prasidatam, let them be pacified. Dayantu, let them consider. Bhutani, all the living entities. Shivam, auspiciousness. Mitaha, mutual. Diya, by their intelligence. Manaha, the mind. Cha, and. Badram, calmness. Bhajati, sorry, bhajatat. Let it experience. Adoksajet, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is beyond the perception of mind, intelligence, and senses? Avishyatam, let it be absorbed. Na, our. Mati, intelligence. Api, indeed. Aituki, without any motive. Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of him. Purport. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Manchakalpatirubhya chakripasandubhyevacha paritanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of everyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakasipu, Prahlad Maharaj did not ask anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Om Gyanati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakya Sakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So here we see the wonderful prayer of a saintly person who prays that the entire universe may be benedicted and that all envious persons may become pacified. Such a wonderful personality, a sadhu, a man who is described as sadhava or thoroughly honest, a saintly person, such a person is naturally always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. And the way to benedict the entire universe is to engage the entire universe in that glorification. Therefore, sadhu means he who is always engaged in glorifying the Absolute Truth, Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, Asat Sangachag, E Vaishnavachar, Stri Sangha, Eka Ashadu, Bhaktior. It is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions to Sanatana Goswami that an important principle in devotional service is to give up the association of non-devotees. And he then classifies what non-devotees are. He says Stri Sangi and Asuda, Asadu, or meaning, Srila Prabhupada translates Stri Sangi as a woman hunter, right? And the other one is a non-devotee. So, okay, the non-devotee is obvious because he brings with him so many bad habits that may be contaminating. But also, the other category, even if a devotee, but a woman hunter, is also to be avoided. So that's interesting. One who is addicted to illicit sex is also not good association in spiritual life. Of course, when a Vaishnava, we will certainly respect such a Vaishnava, but we cannot get so close because one develops desires according to association, and that is important. Rupa Goswami says, Anyabilasita sunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. One must be free from all other desires to enjoy sense gratification or desires for liberation. Anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruchate. One must then serve the Lord in a favorable way and cultivate Krishna consciousness by constantly associating with favorable influences, and that is sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha is, it takes an endeavor to create that kind of atmosphere. Sadhu means a sadhu is never alone. A sadhu is always with Krishna and every point in time. A sadhu always realizes that the most important person present in this particular situation is Krishna. There are so many situations that are coming about. Have you heard? big thing going on, fine, right? Let's deal with it somehow or other. We'll have to. When it's a big thing and it begins to affect our life, we'll have to deal with it. But whatever may be, Krishna is the most important person in that entire situation. And the relationship we have with him is first, before any other relationship, with any other person, with any other situation, or anything in this world. So, even when your mother just died, right? I know, it's a big thing. But bigger still is the relationship that we have with Krishna. And that has to, a sadhu has to cultivate that consciousness. And ultimately, every devotee, it doesn't matter what our external role is. All of us, according to our karma, have been assigned a particular role, a particular body in a particular place, a particular destiny in our life. And then within that destiny, we have our minute independence by which we can choose for Krishna or not. And that choice we have to make to somehow or other make a spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada said, life is like hardwood and you have to carve Krishna out of it. I think it's a really good quote. It's not going to be easy to be a sadhu or a saintly person because the material world is not designed for comfort. It is designed for austerity. That is the basic principle of material life, as Rishabhdev has analyzed it. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam sujetyasmat pramasokyam tanantam. Or start with the beginning. Nayam deho bhajamnya loke kastan kamam arate vidbujyam ye. And then tapo divyam. So Rishabhdev is saying this human form of life, or life in general, is not meant for sense gratification, which is available to the vidbujam, the stool eaters like hogs and dogs. Human form of life is meant for austerity, and then one can attain the transcendental platform of Brahma Sukha, happiness beyond the three modes of material nature. It's not that Lord Rishabhdev is fanatically emphasizing austerity just because austerity is his thing. Right? That's not his point. His point rather is that austerity is an intrinsic element of the basic design of material nature. You can't escape it. It's how it is. It's not a choice. Shall I be austere? Shall I not be austere? That's not the choice. It is austere. It is simply like that. And it always is austere, any form of existence in the material world, because the material world is designed for that purpose. Therefore, we cannot expect that spiritual life or the sadhu mark, the path of the sadhu, is not a path that includes austerity. It does. It does. Part of that austerity is asatsanga tyag, is to give up the association of the asatsanga, of those who are dedicated to non-permanent things. Those who put all their energy in the non-permanent relationships in this world, either with people, animals, or things, whatever may be. It's whatever is non-permanent has to be given up, and also the intimate association with people who are preoccupying themselves with these things. That includes our family members. That includes, more remote people. Not meaning that one has to give up his family members completely, but intimate association is difficult. Previously, in a more earlier ISKCON, devotees would rarely go home to their family. They would rarely go. And if they would go, it's like they'd never stay. They'd only visit and go. Like, honestly speaking, I've never stayed overnight at my family's place as a devotee, since I'm a devotee. It's just never happened, never did. Because that was the culture. It's not that now I'm necessarily saying one cannot stay overnight. I'm rather saying that was the culture that existed. And it had its merits. One devotee told me, he said, when I go to my parents, it is as if I'm going to a museum of my old habits. And I thought that was very poetic. Really like a classic kind of. So yes, it is like that. Because I'm now speaking not those who have devotee parents doesn't count, right? But I'm speaking when your parents are materialists, then when you go there, they just act as if you're still the same. They call you by your old name, and they keep on trying to act as if you are the same person you always were. It's like, I've changed. Yeah. Anyway. they just ignore it. So, and they hope that whatever has changed will just go away, you know, if they just ignore it. That's the idea. So asat sangha tyag. Asat sangha, one cannot avoid, because practically speaking, the whole world is asat sangha. Wherever you look, the people in the shop, everywhere, they're all. It's like I was on a train chanting Hare Krishna. Two young girls, maybe 13, sit opposite of me, and they looked really innocent. So in my mind, I had put them in the box, innocent girls, right? And then one says to the other one, you also drink whiskey sometimes? And I'm looking like, little girls like that drinking whiskey? And the other one says, yes, sometimes I also. And I go, like, my God, my whole illusion destroyed once again. Little girls drink whiskey. It's like that in the world. So, what shall we say? The contamination is proliferated in all directions. Fortunately, we are not just as sadhus in this particular time, we are not just practicing a sadhana, a process by which we are cultivating saintly consciousness, by filling the consciousness with thoughts and activity that reminds us of Krishna. That is not all. Fortunately, we have an additional factor, the mercy factor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mercy factor of the Supreme Lord is always there. And Prabhupada points out that Krishna is more eager for us to go back to Godhead than we are to go ourselves. I want to go back to Godhead, I guess. Whereas Krishna is like serious about it. So certainly Krishna's mercy is always there, but just in this age, this mercy is multiplied manyfold. And this mercy now is particularly very strongly present, and we are constantly under the protection of this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is an important element of the sadhu identity at this particular point in time. Srila Prabhupada is the representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is particularly the acharya for the modern world. Previously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented Krishna consciousness in a society which was still adhering very much to Vedic principles, and therefore had that protection of the Vedic culture. And in that way, society at large was in many ways favorable for spiritual life. Of course, even at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were so many that had lost the purpose of the Vedas and that were engaging in the lower activities of the Vedas, and they were worshipping various Durga and Kali forms and engaging in pujas where drinking of wine was part of the procedure, or where flesh is being offered and so on, and all that certainly wasn't very helpful. Such kind of aspects of Vedic culture are very slowly keeping a person connected to the Vedas, and then over many births one can gradually become purified and elevated. But we have no interest in such type of activities. They are, in Srimad Bhagavatam, condemned as Kaitava Dharma, or as cheating religion. So the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly established the highest quality, the quality of pure devotional service, and no less. Therefore, the standard of sadhu is the highest standard, the standard of pure devotional service, the standard of the highest behavior. And that is the aim of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But being merciful, Lord Chaitanya spreads his net very wide and is ready to bring in all kinds of people from any walk of life, and that's us. And therefore, we bring with us all kinds of things. Oh, my foot goes asleep. One second. Oh, boy. I have to stand for a second. Yeah. It's anyway a topical class. So, movement of Lord Chaitanya is a movement which is accommodating all kinds of people. But that's, of course, no excuse to stay like that. We bring all this stuff with us in our hand luggage. And, you know, just as like when you fly on Ryanair, you put on a coat with big pockets, right? And, you know, and stuff every possible pocket that you have, because you're not going to let them, right? Let them, well, cheat you out of a lot of money for, you know, that little extra kilo. No way. I mean, you know. So, you know, there are devotees who have special vests with special pockets in the that behind the back can hold computers and, like, you know, a 40-kilo vest, right? That is certainly going on. I won't mention any names, but so. But anyway, that is going on. And at one point, you say, like, do we really need that much luggage? If you're a regular traveler, and every time you got so much extra kilos, and you got to cheat, You know, you put your suitcase on the scale when it's being weighed, and meanwhile, you keep the end hanging over a little bit, and then with your foot, you lift the suitcase 5 kilos, just like that, if you're strong, even more. There are so many tricks being employed when boarding a plane, when somehow or other we want to bring on extra luggage. Yeah, so that is what we're doing here also in our movement, in our spiritual life. We just bring in all this extra luggage. And that extra luggage is creating a lot of ballast, a lot of extra dead weight. So in our movement, there's a lot of dead weight. You know, I know people who are perfect in saying Hari Bol, Jai, Nectar, Bliss, Prabhu, and who can offer the flowers exactly at the right moment, but they're not chanting 16 rounds. That's dead weight. Yeah. That is ballast. That is not... That kind of association makes it heavy, makes our movement heavy. When we're living in a community, and there are a lot of people in the community who are not very much into actively cultivating the spiritual activities, then that creates a burden on the community. That weighs the community down. It's not just imaginary. Because we depend on spending our time in glorifying the Supreme Lord. In the Chaitanya Chandradoya Natak, Kavi Karnapur speaks about bhakti, and he makes a distinction. He says there are two types of bhakti. Bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar. I think it's a good division. I mean, one could possibly make a link, you know, saying Vaidhi bhakti, Raganuga bhakti, but there's already nectar in Vaidhi also, so it's not completely parallel. But anyway, it's interesting, bhakti with nectar, bhakti without nectar. Obviously, bhakti without nectar is a very difficult thing. And this is maybe the big challenge we are facing. The big challenge that we are facing is maybe not to right away reach Krishna prema. That may be a little high, but at least to get more taste, to have bhakti with nectar, instead of bhakti without nectar. We know that it is the best. We know that we should be doing it. We know that it's very important. We know that if you don't follow it, that you may have to take another birth, and we don't want that, don't we? No, we don't. We know that if you're serious in spiritual life, and we want to be serious in spiritual life, don't we? That you go back to Godhead, and we'd want to go back to Godhead, don't we? One devotee said, "But I don't know anybody there." all right. Okay. So, what to do? We are indeed, somehow or other, weak in our desire. Our desire is not very strong. Our desire to rise to the spiritual platform is not even there. So it's like, what chance do you have when you don't really want it? Do you want to be a devotee? Well, yeah. Okay. we need a little more, we need to somehow or other develop more enthusiasm. We need to really develop the desire. Well, how to develop the desire to be Krishna consciousness? This seems to be like the burning question. It's like So in the middle of this special topical class on Sadhu Sangha and Asat Sangha, in the middle there's a burning question. How are we going to do it? How are we going to develop a desire? Spiritual desires and all these things. Yeah. How? It seems to be extremely difficult, really. I mean, there are people, they have tried for many, many years, year in, year out. And then, you know, one day they throw in the towel, right? You know, I mean, traditionally, apparently in boxing, if you are in the ring and you throw in the towel, that means you're giving up, you know. So, yeah, they give up after a long time. They give up the fight. And, you know, even slogans will not help anymore. You know, come on, you know what I mean? Just one lifetime. When it's like just, you know, a few more years. It's like no more life left, no more energy left, no more strength to fight. So what about that? Where do we get the desire? Where do we get the strength to go on? All part of the burning question. The answer to the burning question is a little bit simple, and probably some of you might feel too simple, right? But let me give it anyway. You know, the answer to the burning question is that Krishna is all attractive. Really. No, he is. I knew some of you might think this answer is too simple. But the point is, Krishna is all attractive, and therefore we must have the conviction that if somehow or other we associate with Krishna, that even we are going to become attracted one day. Yeah. Although so far we are not so much, little, but it's going to happen, inevitably so. One can't get around it. If we just spend adequate time with Krishna, attraction will automatically develop. I think that is a crucial point, because there we see that truly it happens on its own. It's not by that we have to somehow or other do it and force this feeling, give birth to this feeling of attraction to Krishna. No, it just automatically appears if we simply render service, if we simply become part of Sankirtan, of glorifying Krishna, either by speaking, either by singing, either by making arrangement for Krishna's worship. It's all part of glorifying Krishna, either by helping to maintain Radhadesh, either by planting flowers in the garden or whatever. It's all part of glorifying Krishna. It's Krishna's garden, and so on. So if we just simply become more preoccupied in that, then we go over that that border, or what I would call through the taste barrier. Planes go through the sound barrier, and then bang. So devotees need to go through the sound barrier, through the taste barrier. It is like not easy, but that's the secret, and that for that we need community. We need community. Therefore, the element of sangha, is important. Saintly association is important. It's not that we're all going to sit in a room and be so saintly, you know. How are you? Prabhu, so wonderful. Ultimately, saintliness means glorifying Krishna. There is a lot that we have to invent. If you look at ISKCON, in terms of its development, it changes very fast, really. ISKCON goes through very fast changes. I notice that sometimes someone leaves ISKCON and then writes a paper about the state of affairs of ISKCON, an exposure of what's wrong. And then when I read the paper, I sort of think, it's outdated. You know? It's just outdated. We already moved on from that. Everybody knows that by now. And we moved on. It's outdated. Yeah. But we keep on moving on. And this, in our search for a way of life, that we have the best philosophy that we know, or are supposed to know, or are supposed to be convinced of, but how to live. I admit, you know, right here in front of all of you, that I like bread and cheese, and not so much sabji puri. What can I do? You know, after years, I finally came to the point where I realized that bread and cheese works for me. I must admit, I guess I'm Dutch, and you know, or was something digested better. Yeah? Sabji puri, it's got to be a real good sabji and a real good puri before I get excited about it. Yeah? And what to do? Yeah. So it is like that. It is difficult for us to completely fit into an Indian culture. And therefore we see, like some sit on the floor and are thinking, I wish I had a chair. Rubbing their legs. Yeah. Some just decided to forget it. I'm going for a chair. So, like that, you know, and next the sofas will be in. Yeah. For your back, you know. So in this way, we need a way of life also, and whatever that way of life is, we have to kind of find it. But at the center of it all, sadhu culture simply means to glorify Krishna. Vayam tu navitripyamo uttama sloka vikrame yat srinvatam rasa jnanam svadu svadu pade pade. The glorification of Krishna is that which can bring a sadhu to the point of svadu svadu, where the sadhu, or and svadu svadu pade pade, where the sadhu enjoys at every step. And that is the whole point. So, within our own community, we have to create a culture where everyone commits, everyone makes a commitment to hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. That is required; otherwise, the community becomes burdened, and it can make a huge difference. I see, there was a temple that I visited in my travels in the last year, and for quite a number of years, it was emptying out. Everyone was leaving the temple. Everyone. And then suddenly they found a new president who was young and enthusiastic and kind of nice in human relationships. That was the strongest point. Strong in relationships and just nice and enthusiastic. Right? And kind of still young. And that changed the mood so much that now everyone's moving towards that temple. From everywhere. People start telling me, they come, can I talk to you? And maybe, you know, I have a plan, maybe I should move to that temple. I go, why not? Yeah. Why not? Good idea. Go. It's like that. It is very important. So good leadership is certainly important. And then we're talking especially about leadership centered around sada achar, about the behavior of a sadhu, a person who is gentle, who is an example, who is spiritually strong, and who is kind in his dealings. That is something that helps a lot in community life. People are looking at a leader. It is a fundamental principle. We see in India, they're still talking Ram Raja, Ram Raja, Ram Raja, and it's this, the rule of Lord Ramachandra 1 million years ago. And still it's relevant today, very relevant to India today. They all want that. Not that they have it, but they want. So yes, in our movement also, that is what is required. But it also requires that we all come forward. There was a book, some management book, which I read about leadership, and it said 360 degree leadership. And it meant that everyone on any level must be in a role of leadership. Not only the person on the top, right? Not only the person who's in the top position, he has to be a leader, he has to be the perfect example. No, everyone has to take his share of leadership. There may be a capacity, but everyone has to be a leader in his own field. 360 degrees means all around, right? Around everyone. Everyone has to be an example. So that resonates very much with sadhu sangha. That everyone has to lead. Everyone has to take initiative. No one can just wait, yeah, for someone to make it happen and then say, oh, it's not happening because they're not making it happen. No. We have to lead. Everyone has to take that initiative, and that is the success of sadhu sangha. So everyone has a responsibility in the community of devotees to be an inspiration. And if that's not embraced, then we're having a movement which will carry on the way it is now. A movement in the post-charismatic stage, as they say. Prabhupada, the charismatic founder, and creating this incredible inspiration, this incredible enthusiasm in people to make a sacrifice, and then with it also a real spirit of sacrifice. I was just the other day finally reading this this book of Ranshur about Prabhupada in England, because it's like I travel and I cannot carry this book. And it's not in an e-book format, so then what do? You know, then it just stays on the shelf in Radhadish. But anyway, I was finally reading it, and then it was described how Shyama Sundar, who was a carpenter by trade, got inspired to build a Rath cart and have a Rathiatra, and they were just staying in some apartment on the ground floor. There was a garden. And then up in the building, a few floors up, the landlady was living there. And then Shyama Sundar just decided to start making a Rath cart, and he started just building it in the backyard. And the landlady was looking out the window, what is coming up in the garden? But immediately everybody got into it. All the devotees, okay, that's what we're doing together. That's it, you know. Everyone took part and made, and in that way it became possible. So this, I think the key in this topic is okay. We put some emphasis on the sadhu element, right? But even more emphasis I want to place on the sangha element. And as a conclusion, I'd like to say that it's the sangha where we will do it. It is by worshipping Krishna together and by being enthusiastic about that together. That's where suddenly the life will come, and that is where the taste will come. We are not great saints, and it's not so easy to become a great saint, but we must try. But together, by glorifying Krishna, somehow or other, we can manage to live a saintly life. And even if in our hearts some remnants of impurity remain, anyway, then we pray for mercy. We pray for mercy. And asabandha, hope against hope, that we will be successful in this way. We've used up the time. It's a huge, big topic. Sadhu Sangha versus Asad Sangha. One can speak on it for a week, for a month, for a year, for a lifetime. There is no limit to what can be said about the topic. But I got to end somewhere, so I may as well end here. It's sort of in the middle of the lecture, I know. But, you know, why try and create some sort of artificial, beautiful end to it all? When there is no end to it all, it's an ongoing thing. Sadhu Sangha. And wake up the community. In some communities, when people don't go to the temple, we started doing house programs in the apartments of all the devotees. Yeah? It was really successful. It was like a great thing. We started like, okay, everybody gets this turn, and we just did house programs right around the temple. And that really worked. After that, people got a bit more taste for sadhu sangha. So that was the end. Gotta go end out with a firecracker. So any questions, any comments?
Yes.
Any?
In the secular world.
Oh. They're all off.
So I think all the bodies I've heard this expression used that you shouldn't judge.
No, don't be so judgmental. Yeah, yeah.
So how do we turn this up?
Well, you know, once upon a time, there was an ISKCON where we used to judge everybody. Okay? One step over the line, you were off. And two steps over the line, if you stayed over the line, you had become a demon and so many things, right? We were very judgmental in the past. We had no fear at all to call a spade a spade. And I started my service quite soon in management in this movement. So in management, you always have to judge. And that's is this right? Is it wrong? So in the old days, we had no fear to call a spade, you know, and tell them straight to the face. Later on, we developed a totally different attitude towards management and these matters of judging people. We used to say, of course, Prabhu, I understand it is your inspiration, your expression of bhakti that you are cleaning the altar with your toothbrush, but you know, maybe it's not entirely in line with the scripture, so possibly. In this way, we developed a very psychological approach, almost, and a manager had to start learning many techniques You know, for example, emphatic listening, something we never used to do. We never listened to anybody. we just used to give them big lectures, right? But then we changed our attitude and, you know, we got into emphatic listening, which we came straight from the psychology, you know, hold your chin, the finger must be straight. I see. Yeah. Indeed. Very interesting. Anyway, we learned all the gestures, went to seminars and got training, and we're doing a lot better these days. No, Prabhu, no problem. If you can only follow 1.5 principle, we understand, you can still do devotional service, and just, no, we won't condemn you, just keep on working on it, Prabhu, it's all right, don't feel bad. But at the end of your life, right, your time's up, and you will be ripped out of your body. Right? And at that time, my dear friend, right, you will be judged and judged like anything. And even that, Prabhuji, I cannot change, unfortunately. I'm so sorry, but I'll help you to deal with the shock and the trauma of this heavy philosophy and this hard reality so that you land better. So in whatever way you want it, you know, I can give it to you. Straighten the face, or I can wrap it up for you really nicely and cushy and so on. But the truth is still the truth. You see the point? So, you know, we may not be judgmental, but somebody else is. That's the issue. So, it's therefore, you know, since we're going to be judged at the end of our life, there is absolutely no harm in being, in sometimes, being judged. But it must be done in a certain way, with love. Yeah. That's also there. Mm-hmm. Chanakya Pandit says, you can't correct anyone unless you are his friend, unless you have an intimate relationship with him, unless you have some seniority, at least equal or senior to that person, and unless you do it in private. Otherwise, can't correct anyone. So all the judgmental stuff. But yeah, you know, the liberal ISKCON where everything goes, sometimes it gets a bit much for me, I must say, you know. I mean, I call it the ISKCON of the new millennium. Eh? I mean, you have new age, then new millennium. The ISKCON of the new millennium, where everything goes. I don't know. Is that really going to help us? I'm not sure. Not that I say army boot camp is ideal either, you know. And everybody get up. Chant around. So we're still finding the proper form, I guess. But there's nothing wrong in being a little judgmental every once in a while. Better judgmental than mental. Anyone else? Any other question? Otherwise, the party's over. Finished. All right, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I want to pay my bill.
Now.
I thought you'd be ready for that any time. Thank you.